right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, Father's Day edition of the show this week, and I am very, very happy to be with you. Man, it's a great weekend. I'm not just saying that because I'm a dad. Because, honestly, I have some conflicted feelings about Father's Day. And we'll talk about that a little bit today. But I'm saying it because, first of all, Father's Day weekend is always a great sports weekend just because of the U.S. Open, which traditionally is played and ends on Father's Day itself on Sunday. And if you're a golf person, and a lot of you may not be, but if you're a golf person, I mean, I love the Masters. The Masters is probably my favorite one because it's so tradition-laden and what it means and, you know, Augusta National and all that. But the U.S. Open, as far as just a test of golf and, again, the whole Father's Day angle, I just have so many memories over the years of Father's Day Sunday, spending it with my dad, my uncle Mike, and people like that, just watching the end of the Open. And now that I've got kids myself, we'll do something during the day, but it'll probably end on Sunday evening the same way. So you've got that. You got the World Cup this weekend, which, again, maybe a lot of you aren't soccer people. I'm certainly not a soccer person, but I can appreciate any event as global as this one, and we'll talk about that a little bit as well. And then, of course, it's not really a sports weekend thing, but you've got minicamp going on over at One Buck Place, and it's been a really exciting week, just if no other reason, just to see the guys out there on the field. It kind of looks like training camp, even though it's not training camp. It looks and feels the same. They're wearing their practice clothes. They're in the, you know, on the field. They were in the indoor facility the past couple days because of some weather, and that's why they built that thing. And people are watching. In fact, I was actually really impressed. I have to say this. You know, they just built this new indoor practice facility. They were working on it during last year's training camp, and they kind of finished it as the season went on. But this is the first full buck season that we have with the indoor practice facility. And when they moved those practices for the mini camp in there this week, you know, the practices were open to not the entire general public, but just season ticket holders. And this makes it even more impressive to me because they opened it up to the season ticket holders. And I've been watching, you know, I haven't had a chance to go out there personally, but just the Joe Bucks Fan Twitter feed alone, the coverage is unbelievable. The Joes are there. Ira's there. We have people all over the place. They're posting video. I mean, you can basically, in the palm of your hand on your smartphone or on your laptop or whatever it is, you can basically have been to practice because they're posting so much video, everything you'd want to see, team drills, individual groups, I mean, well, all of it. I mean, it's like you're there. I mean, it is like you're there. So you get a great feel for the indoor practice facility. You get a great feel for the types of things the team is doing on the field. It's just really phenomenal coverage by Joe Bucks Fan. I'm not just saying, I'm saying that as a third party, not just because I happen to have a podcast on this website. But man, really, really cool stuff to be able to just feel like you're there. So what I noticed at all the videos, and again, this isn't even the general public. This is just season ticket holders. And there's not a million seats in there, but they've got like five rows of bleachers that run about the length of the field. And it's filled up. I mean, people are jacked up for football. And this happens every year, no matter how bad the Bucks were the year before, no matter how tough of an offseason the NFL had, for all the crap and just absolute garbage you hear about the anthem idiocy on both sides, or whether it is about concussions and the latest with that, and oh my God, football, is it going to survive? Every year after the offseason has kind of started to take hold on people and they start to miss football, and then you throw a little bit of football out there at them, whether it's minicamp or something like that, people show up. And you know why? Because nothing gets the juices flowing. I say this all the time, and I'll keep saying it. And I love baseball. I love hockey. The Lightning just finished a deep playoff run. You know, I love many other sports. I'm not just one of those people that just likes football. But nothing moves the needle. Nothing just, it's like a dog whistle. People just kind of, I heard some pads clacking. What's going on? They just know. And there's nothing like football. There really isn't. And so when you get into this long desert of the offseason that seems like you're miles away from anything that you want to be a part of, and June can feel that way, you throw a mini camp out there and it's like, hey, you know what? We got this mini camp in like what? Like a month? And then it's training camp? And then by then, it's, once Hard Knocks goes on HBO, you're practically there. Then preseason games start happening, and I don't give a crap about how meaningless they are. I'll take it. Right now, I'll take it. people love football. It's shown so many different ways by society. The TV ratings don't lie. The people in the stands for practices, not even official training camp practices, but I'm talking about mini camp. All that stuff doesn't lie, and that's how I know you guys are excited, and you should be. And all the reports coming from practice, and if you've seen the videos, you can see it in the videos too. And I'm not, listen, I hate when people put too much stock into training camp, let alone mini camp. And they always say, you hear it every year, oh man, you know, the team so-and-so looks great, or the team looks this, or the attitude's different. I mean, those are cliches and platitudes that you hear from literally every team, literally every year. But people who have been there and people who have compared this Bucks, you know, mini camp to past practices for the Bucks of last year or years past, say there is a lot more of a positive attitude. And again, I know that's kind of the case every year, but there's certain years where, you know, you kind of feel it, but then there's other years where you really, really feel it. And I remember 1997 was the same way, because every year when the Bucks were terrible in the 90s, it was always like, yeah, I think this could be the year. You know, you'd say that, but not really. And then I remember the 97 offseason, like the summer of 1997. I remember being in high school, at Jesuit High School, with my buddies and us talking. And I remember thinking and saying, I know we say this every year, but this year the Bucks are really going to be good. I really think so. Like, it just feels like they have no choice but to be good. And sure enough, you know, 1997 happened. You know, it was only 10-6, but at the time that was a really big deal. And for me, given what they've done with the roster, and given Jameis Winston taking a big step forward, we don't know he's going to do that, but I assume entering his fourth year now, he's going to take a big step forward. Yeah, I feel like this is a year where if they don't do something this year, and then obviously the coaching staff is already on notice because they almost didn't make it out of last year. But if they don't do something this year, there'll be big changes, and we all know that. But I feel like it doesn't have to be that way. So, speaking of Jameis Winston, you know, we have a very deep stable of podcasts here on JoeBucksFan.com, and I was listening to Ira's the other day, and he was talking very adamantly, and I was eating it up because I'm a Jameis Winston guy. But I'm a Gator, by the way, so it's not like one of those FSU things. He was talking about how, hey, the Glazers, just prepare yourself. I'm not going to do an Ira impression, but he was saying, prepare yourselves as Buck fans. Jameis Winston's going to get paid. You know, they already picked up his fifth-year option for 2019. So when he finishes 2018, he'll be entering the final year of a contract, and at that point, something is done. You don't play out the final year of a contract and just, you know, play it out with nothing. You take care of that the summer before. So next summer, after we get to see what happened in 2018, which hopefully it's over the moon and Jameis Winston, you know, the Bucks make him rich beyond his wildest dreams and all that because of the year he had in 2018. But after this year, whatever happens, it's going to be time to make a decision. And Ira was saying on his podcast, which I recommend you all listen to, and you probably already are, that the Glazers 100% are going to make him a rich man. They're going to seal him up long-term, lock him up long-term. Let me give you a stat which you may not believe. And I still don't believe it. The first time I heard it was just a few years ago, and I didn't believe it then. But Jameis Winston, if he signs, and I assume he will, you know, barring something bad happening, so if and when he signs this second contract, will become the first Buccaneers quarterback. I believe maybe backups don't count, but he'll be the first starting quarterback in all of Buccaneer history ever to sign a second contract. Okay? Think about that for a second. Again, no Buccaneers starting quarterback has ever signed a second contract. Ever. Which is, to me, just unbelievable, but it's true. And that's why it boggles the mind all the more when I hear the Winston naysayers and the people that want to move on from him, the people that just aren't sold, and the people that harp on the turnovers and don't seem to really grasp the idea of how bad this team's offensive line is and all the sack fumbles and this, which are, again, things he has to improve on for sure, but there are more things our offensive line has to improve on than him. But either way, like, the idea that this franchise, which for so long, really forever, literally forever in their history, has been looking for that guy where you can say, yeah, that's our quarterback. We're going forward the next 10 years with this guy. And to have a guy who has, in my opinion, and it's not just my opinion, statistically as well, has performed at a very high level despite mistakes. In only his first 3 years, I mean, again, and I told you this during some of the shows back during the season, he's entering his fourth year. He's entering veteran quarterback territory. He's 24. This past season, as he played in his third year as a full-time starter in the NFL, Jameis Winston, this whole past season, was still younger than Tom Brady was when Tom Brady started his first NFL game. And I threw that stat at you again. It was back during the season. I was not doing it to make a direct comparison that Jameis Winston is going to be like Tom Brady. My point was, though, I think people forget just how young he was. He didn't go to college for 4 years with a red shirt and come out at age 20. I mean, age 23, 24. He was like 20 when he came out or whatever, 21. You know, he had 2 years. And that's sometimes a knock against drafting guys, because when they're so young, their track record as starters isn't as good if you look over the history. And that was one of the few things, because I loved everything about Jameis Winston on the field coming out of college, but one of my concerns was his youth, because when guys don't have that third year in college, a lot of times they don't pan out as well. But, I mean, he's still Tom Brady's age now, the Tom Brady was when he was a rookie. So keep that in mind. And through all of that, he led what actually, again, statistically, and I know wins and losses are all we care about, and they should be, but statistically, he led a very, very solid passing attack. He did it with no running game and no offensive line to speak of, and a defense that was atrocious. So I don't think it's any wonder the Bucs finished with the record they did, but I think it is a wonder that people talk as much crap about Winston as they do, and I don't think anybody should be upset at the idea of the Glazers signing him to a second long-term, you know, really next-level deal in this offseason. In fact, as a Bucs fan, you should be celebrating that because the team's never been able to do that before. They've never had anybody that either wanted to do it or that they wanted to do it for. And it's one of the reasons this franchise's history is what it is. So, and again, when this actually happens, we'll have had this entire 2018 season, which we currently know nothing about. We'll know how that all turned out. But I anticipate, at least on Winston's end, and I hope the entire franchise's end, but at least on Winston's end, he'll have had some success, and he'll be in line for that deal. And if you don't like that or you think the Bucs should move on, again, I don't know what to tell you because I don't think you've been watching closely enough, but it's not going to happen. Again, barring something very unforeseen, which we hope never comes up. So I was really enjoying Ira talking about that, and Ira was adamant, and he actually had Jameis Winston on, which was a cool thing to listen to. But even the parts where he was just talking about the Glazers' intentions and what's going to happen this coming offseason, I mean, every franchise should be striving for that, shouldn't they? When you really think about it? I mean, you want to have a quarterback, and there's only a handful of teams that do, but you want to have a quarterback who's the unquestioned guy, who you plan on continuing to be the unquestioned guy for years and years to come, and that's that. And again, you can't underestimate, a lot of you do, and the Bucs have made, you know, they've addressed some things up front as well, and obviously drafting Ronald Jones and all. So they've done some things for the running game, and they've done some things for the offensive line, but you can't really have expected much more, in my opinion, from Winston, given how bad the offensive line was. I remember those last few games of the season when everybody was ripping on the defensive line, quarterbacks just untouched. And it was a popular refrain, and it was for a good reason because it was true. But the defensive line left so much to be desired that I think people forgot about how bad the offensive line was. And we almost forgot to rip the – like it's almost like a list of people to rip. We got caught up on ripping the front seven. We forgot to rip the offensive line at the end of last season. But they were terrible. I mean, they did nothing for Winston, nothing, and nothing for the running game. And for Winston to have, again, statistically, and if you just, I know the whole stats are for losers crowd's going to say, oh, all that matters is 4-12, dude. Yeah, I get that, okay? Of course it does. But when you're evaluating a player individually, then you do look at more than just the record. Of course, as fans, the ultimate thing for a team is the record. But when you're evaluating a player individually, you know, that's you got to look at everything. So, with all that said, I think we are actually pretty lucky to be in the spot we're in at quarterback right now, and I think our fan base, if it hasn't learned that yet, may be about to learn that if the improvements to the team that they have made work as well as we think they will and as we hope they will. So, with all that said, you know, it's just minicamp, but man, it was a refreshing thing to see. Again, just seeing, I know they weren't hitting each other, but just seeing guys in helmets, the running routes, the whole thing, everything, just, man. It kind of, you know, during the season, I think, man, I love football, but it's during the offseason when you realize how much you love it, because no matter what else is going on, and again, I was really, I'm a huge Lightning fan, as you know, I was really into that, and they came up a little short, but you know, the Triple Crown, I've talked horse racing on this show. For some of you that may appreciate that, I know a lot of you probably don't even care. I love that. I'm a big Rays fan, big baseball guy, golf, all of it, love it. But then I just see football practice, and we're talking about, like Allen Iverson said, we're talking about practice. And that moves the needle for me as much as anything. I mean, I'm like, oh man, here we go. It's one of the reasons I play for the Dunedin Pirates, the sponsors of this very podcast, who are accepting player applications, by the way, for the 2019 season. They play in the spring, so the season runs from like late December after Christmas. There's usually, you know, a preseason game maybe or some practices, and then all the way through March or April. And I'm talking about real football here, 18 and over. If you're one of those people that says, man, what I wouldn't give to just do it one more time. When I used to play football at Jesuit in high school, our coaches would always say that, and sometimes ex-players would show up on campus, and they'd come visit practice, and the coach would let them come talk to the team, and they'd all say the same thing. You guys don't have any idea. I just want to go home at the end of the day when practice is over. You're just waiting for it to be done. Well, let me tell you something. I'm 40 years old, and I'd give anything for one more play. You don't even know that yet, but you will one day. They would scream it at us. Well, if you're one of those guys now, you can have a series of plays and games as a real adult football player with pads. I'm not talking about flag football at your local rec league, okay? This isn't the Y. I'm talking about, boom, full contact, full pad football. The Florida Football Alliance is the name of the league. The Dunedin Pirates. Go to DunedinPirates.com. Check it out. You might even get to the lineup and take some snaps alongside me if I can still get my old bones out there at age 38. I'm thinking about it right now. I may hang it up. I'm not sure yet. But I always say that, and then once the season comes and I see like the regular football being played, then I say, oh yeah, I'm playing again. That just gets me in the mood. And by the way, Canadian Football League, the preseason's over. Week one of that is this week. I think there's a game on ESPN on Friday night, or ESPN2 or something. So that even that, I love watching. And like I said, I'm going to Canada in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to try and see about maybe attending a CFL game, depending. I'm going to be in the Toronto-Hamilton area, depending on the schedules and things like that. I have to check. But as for now, as outside of football, like I said, the World Cup's going on. Let me say something about the World Cup real quick. Because I grew up as a child really not liking soccer. I didn't play it. You know, I stuck to Little League Baseball, and then I played 1 year of Pop Warner football in eighth grade before entering high school. But that was my, I didn't do soccer, you know, even though it's a popular youth sport. My dad and my uncle, they weren't big soccer guys, and they didn't really steer me that direction. And even now, I watch a soccer game sometimes, and there's things I wish I could change about it, rules I wish I could tweak, things like that. But I have an open mind, and I have an appreciation for athletic feats and skill. And so I've tried, you know, I'm never going to be a soccer fan like on a 365-day-a-year basis. I'm not going to watch the English Premier League. I'm not going to do anything like that. But the World Cup, even if you don't like soccer even a little bit, just the idea of it, the format of it. I mean, the Super Bowl, we're talking about hundreds of millions of people watch it. It's the greatest sporting event created by mankind, in my opinion. And it's viewed all over America and in many parts of the world, okay? But that's hundreds of millions. The World Cup, even more so than the Olympics, is the one sporting event in the world that literally is global. Like, every single, and you know, there's 32 countries in it, but every single corner of the globe, all six of the populated continents, and they're probably watching it at the science station in Antarctica too, gets behind this, gets into this. And, you know, as I've gotten older, when I was younger, I mean, I thought, the fate of the earth rode on the outcome of these, you know, football games and, you know, the Bucks, the Gators, FSU. I thought that stuff, like, I thought it was the most important thing on the face of the earth. I really did. And as you get older, you start to realize it's really just entertainment. It exists just to make people money. I mean, let's be honest, like, that's why all these things exist, is to generate money. They are businesses. And that's fine. I'm not complaining about that. But I'm just saying, when you're a kid, you don't have that sense of perspective. And even all the way through high school, like, I used to think, like, it actually mattered. And it matters to me as a fan to this day. But I'm saying, you know, I used to think it mattered because it mattered. And now I'm older, I realize it doesn't actually matter. Like, it doesn't matter who wins the Super Bowl. It doesn't matter who wins the college football national championship. It matters to the fans, and I'm one of them, you know. But it doesn't, you know, the world keeps spinning. You get up on Monday morning, you have a job to go to, you have bills to pay, you have kids to get to school, or whatever it is in your life. You know, it doesn't matter. And that's kind of a slow realization as you grow up. I mean, in my 20s, I knew it too, but it was still, you know, I was kind of making that transition. And now in my 30s, I really do realize it. Like, you know, even for a simple thing like a rainout, I'd be like, oh my God, like, the game's rained out. What are they going to do? They got to play this game. You know, Latinos, oh my God, like, what are we going to do about this? And now, you know, I don't care. Like, I care about the Rays still, or whatever, but I don't care about things because things don't matter that are entertainment. They matter in that they exist at all because the world needs entertainment. But, like, you know, somebody throws you a baseball. That baseball doesn't have to be hit into the outfield. You can swing and miss. You can hit it. It doesn't matter. A truckload of produce coming in from a farm somewhere, that truck does need to be driven to the grocery store so they can get that food on the shelves. Like, that's not like an entertainment thing. That actually does need to happen. That matters. It's like an importance thing. So I know I'm going off on a tangent, but my point is, the World Cup's the one sporting event where I feel like it actually does matter. Like, worldwide, and you look at, like, you know, some of these countries' economies rise and fall with this stuff, and especially some of the smaller ones. You look at somewhere like Panama, who's in for the first time. And if you go on YouTube and Google, like, Panama announcers' reaction, because they made their first World Cup, and back on the last night of qualifying when they clinched it, the same night the U.S. gagged against Trinidad and Tobago, they have a camera that's in the Panamanian announcer's booth that they're getting. It's just, like, it's a really cool sight. Like, you can see how much it matters. Like, that, it matters to them. And so the World Cup's the one thing that, like, pulls the whole globe together like that. And I love the format. I love, you know, I love Senegal playing against Iceland. You know, I just think that's cool. So I'm going to get into it. And like I said, there's things I would change about soccer. I wish they would stop the clock when someone gets hurt and just restart it when the play resumed, and then, you know, when the clock hits zero, it's over, instead of having this nebulous extra time added on. You know, I wish the clock counted down instead of up, like every other normal sport. You know, I wish they had some other rules. I wish shootouts didn't exist. I wish they played till someone scored, all that stuff. But the idea of a game, if I was an alien and you brought me down to Earth and you said, hey, there's this game where you get two nets on either end of the field and the two teams, and each team has to try and get the ball in the other team's net without using their arms, just any part of their body but their arms, I would say, that actually sounds pretty cool. Like, let's try that. And so somewhere along the way, culturally, as a kid, I got turned off, whether it was, you know, influence of my surroundings, the fake injury thing, that's another thing I hate about it. And Americans aren't as bad about that. Of course, America is not in the World Cup this year, but, you know, you see some of these European and South American countries, they're a lot worse with that. And that really, to me, is a big problem. Although soccer people, and there's always, like, soccer people who are, like, you know, the type of guys that wear, like, scarves to their local brew pub to watch the game. Kind of a dork subset of the culture, in my opinion. You know, the real hardcores, they'll try to explain how it's part of the game, and I know it's not. It's crap. Stuff like that. But I'm going to get into it, and hey, listen, it's the middle of summer. What else are you doing for the next month? Let this take you into training camp. I wish they played the World Cup every 2 or 3 years instead of every 4. It'd be more fun. Hey, I'm never going to complain about more sports. Plus, it's more gambling opportunities. And gambling on soccer is actually, if you know what you're doing, can be still a losing proposition, but somewhat less. Maybe slightly profitable. So anyway, for all the fathers out there, one more thing I want to say here as we approach Father's Day. You know, Father's Day's coming up. A lot of people listening to this show are probably fathers, or at least if not, then you have a father or had a father. And if you didn't, that's okay too. But my point is, for me, you know, when I was a kid, Father's Day, and I was always, you know, my parents were divorced when I was pretty young. So I lived with my mom, but then I always went to my dad's on like Sundays. That was like our day. So even on Father's Day, that was a Sunday like every other week. It was not that different from most weeks. And I used to look forward to those days so much because it was a break in the routine. And I'd always do cool stuff with my dad and see, you know, that whole side of the family. And I saw them more than just Sundays, but that was like the day. And then you get into that, and that's when I was a kid. Then you get into that high school, college, early 20s part of your life where, you know, it's really the most self-centered point in your life. And I still saw my dad for Father's Day, but I was, you know, old enough where, like, I wasn't a kid anymore, but I was still too young to have kids of my own. And then I had my own kids, and now I'm 38, and now they do stuff for me for Father's Day. And all I really want is to be around them and have fun on Father. I don't care about the gifts and all that stuff, but I always kind of feel a little bit conflicted because for whatever reason, and maybe some of you guys out there feel this way too, like Father's Day always makes me feel a little bit humble, a little bit guilty about all the ways I haven't been the best father. And I don't think I'm a terrible dad, but you know, sometimes I think I don't get enough credit for what I do as a dad, and sometimes I think I get too much credit, and I feel like I'm actually not as good of a dad. And every time I make a mistake, every time I yell at my kids, which I hate doing, but I do more than I wish I did, or every time I do, you know, any of the thousands of little calculations and decisions you make as a parent every single day, if I feel like it was the wrong one or the wrong sequence of events or whatever, and you always feel like, oh my God, I wonder if this has a negative effect on them going forward or their development, or is this going to matter when they're 40, how I treated them on this day when they were 6 and 3 or what? You know, I think, maybe I think too much. I mean, you just got to keep your head down and keep going. But the main thing I've learned, and part of what makes me kind of feel so guilty sometimes, that these kids, I mean, they're like puppies. You know how a puppy, you can be mean to it or mistreat it or yell at it or do it, and the puppy will, 2 seconds later, will act like it never happened and wag its tail. That's how kids are. That's why it makes me feel even more guilty when I do have missteps as a dad. And on Father's Day, I guess more than any other day, because they're trying to honor me, I feel that guilt even more. And again, maybe some of you out there are nodding your head like, I absolutely know what you're talking about, Bobby. And maybe others of you who maybe have a better track record as dads are like, no, I feel pretty good about what I'm doing. I'll take all that adulation, thank you. And like I said, it's the same with Mother's Day. In fact, Mother's Day is really hard because I feel pressure then to properly honor my wife, who is a fantastic mother. And the biggest thing I tell her and them for Father's Day, I said, the one gift you can give me is to not feel like, you know, I'm stressed out. What are we going to do for dad? Because I know that feeling and I hate it. And I don't want anybody else to feel it either. So, you know, whatever it is you do on Father's Day, like I said, whether it's with your own dad or whether it's your own kids or if you have the best of both worlds and you all hang out together. My dad's got to work on Sunday, so we can't all three generations get together. But, you know, we'll do that at some point next week. You know, whatever it is, I guess what I'm trying to say, because I'd like to hear it from other dads too, is if you feel like you've made some mistakes and if you feel guilty, believe me, you are not alone. I think we all feel that way a little bit. The main thing, I think, and this is what I tell myself, is just being there. Because for all the mistakes I make, and I've made some even as of this morning, okay? For all the mistakes I make, though, I am there. Like, I am always there. And when I make mistakes or when I do, I even tell them, I'm very honest with my kids. I'll say, hey, look, daddy wasn't a very good daddy just now. I'm sorry for what I said, or I'm sorry for how I handled that. That's not the way you're supposed to, you know, treat a child, or that's not the example you're supposed to set. I have to do a better job of teaching you. I'll tell them that. I don't know if it means anything to them at 6 and 3. But either way, I think as long as you're trying, as long as you're there, I think in the pretty okay. So if you're doing that, good for you. And if you're not, it's never too late to start. And I know people have different situations and some people live in different cities. But whatever it is, that's fine. I mean, everybody's got a lot of different situations. Just do the best you can do. And if you're doing that, it should be all right. Enjoy the weekend for all you dads out there and non-dads too, everybody. Enjoy the weekend. Be safe. And as we finish up mini camp here, you know, we're going to be getting ready for training camp soon. We've got plenty more coming up. Email me if you want to. I always love hearing your emails. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is my email address. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. And then, of course, on Twitter, as always, at Bobby Game Day. That is the free stretch for Father's Day weekend. Thanks to the Joes for hosting this podcast. It is an honor and a pleasure to be on this website, the foremost and the top spot for Bucks fans to be 365 days a year, not just in season. So thanks to them. Thanks to all of you. I'm Bobby Fenton. That's the free stretch. Father's Day weekend, June 2018. Wherever you are, good afternoon, good evening, good night, and go Bucks.